Morning, everybody. Welcome to Parsha Explorations for Parsha's Truma. Nice to learn with all of you. I want to begin by doing a bit of tshuva. I have been negligent in not mentioning our sponsors of the week of learning the past few weeks or so, and I really ought to do that. So, and in the future, if anybody sees that I forget, if you could please remind me, I'd be so grateful. So, I just want to mention that last week's week of learning was sponsored by Esty and Stuart Shore in memory of Esty's father, Jerome H. Rosenblum, Yaakov Hanop, and Yisrael Moshe, Alav Shalom. And this week of learning is sponsored by Judith Ennis in memory of her father, Avraham Wolper, Avraham Ben Zvi, Alav Shalom. May their neshamas have an aliyah, and may the learning that we do only give nachas to the neshamos in Gan Eden. I think it's always important. Also, I just want to mention that today we're going to try something a bit different than past few weeks. I'm going to try to sort of do more reading inside and a little bit less reading, meaning reading of the Chumash itself inside, a little bit less reading the sources word for word. So I'm going to actually not share the source sheet with you. I'm going to try to quote from it only a little bit. And this way we'll have a conversation with one another. I wanted to say that I always appreciate when people donate in the zechus and in the merit of learning Torah, and I actually is a perfect segue for the beginning of our learning today, which begins with donating for religious causes. So, if you would open up your chumash for those who have it, the beginning of Parshas Truma, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Aleph, the Torah says, "Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor." Hashem said to Moshe, saying, and if you have a chumash, it will be helpful for our learning today. Daber al bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'yikhu li tiruma, and they should take for me truma, a donation. Now, the Torah here, I mean, actually, let me continue a bit. V'yikhu li truma, and they will take for me a donation. Me eis kol ish asher yidbenu libo, from each person who has a generous heart. They should take my donation. So it's a bit of a peculiar description. Clearly, what the Torah wants here is donations. And Hashem asks for the collection of various valuable materials, which will then enable Moshe and those who work for him, like Bezalel, to construct the Mishkan. But usually, when you want someone to donate, you say that they are giving donations. And here the language is v'yikhu li tiruma. They will take for me donations. So that's a bit strange. It should have said, and they will give donations. That's first of all. And second of all, if you will tell me, well, here this was not voluntary there, and that what Moshe is referring to, or Hashem is referring to, is that Moshe will have the public officials collect the donations from the people, and that's why it's vayikhu l'truma, that it's referring to the public officials who will take the donations from the people. The problem is, it says may eis kol ish asher yidbenu libo, that you would only take them from those people who have a generous heart. Yidbenu libo indicates that the donations are voluntary and that it's not referring to a forced collection by any sort of public official. Then the question then is, what is v'yikhu l'truma? So one basic idea that some of the Mefarshim say is that the way it worked is that indeed Hashem is commanding Moshe to have gabayim, to have public officials who collect these donations. And that the way it works is people voluntarily bring the materials like the gold and the silver and the wool, etc. But once they bring them to the collection point where they were constructing the Mishkan, then it's upon the Gabbain to take those materials from them. That what maybe the point here is that we don't want people to get cold feet. You know, you do a mitzvah, you bring your valuables to the Mishkan. And you might get a bit hesitant at the end there. Oh, I don't know, the gold, the silver, do I really want to give it away? So Hashem tells Moshe to instruct the Gabbaim, the yikhuli truma, take the donations for me once the people bring their materials. then just take them from them. But I wanted to add two more really beautiful ideas based on this language of the yikhu, you will take for me. The first comes from the Ksav HaKabbalah of Yaakov Mecklenburg, and I think all of those are many of you who have donated or have given to important causes in the past can relate to this, because what the Ksav HaKabbalah says is that sometimes giving is taken. The yikhuli, that even though what the Jews are being asked to do here is to donate from their wealth, they're actually taking. Why is that? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, when you give something to a very important person, you give something to somebody of note that you're donating to something important, even though you're giving something physically, but you're also taking the opportunity, the privilege of participating in such a cause, and particularly that of building the Mishkan, building the Beis HaMikdash. The opportunity to donate to such a thing is a gift in and of itself. Ksav HaKabbalah gives an interesting example. He says that in Kiddushin, in the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Gemara has a very interesting halacha. It says, while generally, when a man wants to betroth a woman, the man has to give something to the woman. And let's say he gives a ring or some money, and he says, Hare at mikudeshesli. But the Gemara says, if it's an Adam Chashuv, if it's a very important, distinguished person, then she can be the one to give the money or the ring, etc. She can give the money, and then he could say, Hare amikudeshesli. Such a strange halacha. Why would we say that in that circumstance, it's the woman giving the funds? And the answer is Ksav HaKabbalah, for a certain type of very distinguished person to be able to give to that person is itself a gift. And so in that Gemara, the Gemara is saying, because he's an Adam Chashav, a distinguished person, that she has, that she's giving to him is enough of a benefit, that based on the benefit of being able to give to this person, he can be betroth her. So it's just another demonstration, this idea. Sometimes giving is taken. Right? And I think this actually relates to a very interesting medrash on this pasuk. The medrash says, based on this pasuk, the yikhu li truma, that you will take for me truma, and it sees it as an allusion to the Torah. That the Medrash says the Torah is a mekach. The Torah is the best merchandise. And the first is, the Torah says, v'yikhu li truma, that in this, you're taking it from me, that in this merchandise in the Torah, it includes everything, that anything you could want is in the Torah. But furthermore, the Medrash also says, v'yikhu li teruma, take from me truma, that when you learn Torah, you don't just get the product, but you get the seller also. You get the person, the merchant, selling the product. That's the sort of merchandise that we get when we learn Torah, that we, every time that we learn some Torah, we're getting a bit more of insight into what it means to know God, getting a bit more familiar with the Ribono Shel Olam. When you learn something in the Torah, a mitzvah, it's an expression of Hashem's will. And the more you learn, the more you understand God. So you get the merchandise and the seller also. Why does that relate to v'yikhu li teruma? This isn't talking about learning Torah. It's talking about donating to the Mishkan. Why would Chazal see a hint to the beauty of learning Torah in this pasuk? So I think the answer is, it's this notion of giving, but giving, which is also a form of taking. When you invest in Torah, when you put your effort in learning Torah, you have to give a lot to do that. But it is the ultimate form of taking also, because what you're getting in return is not just knowledge, but it's a connection and understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam. So that's the yikhu li truma. Sometimes giving can be a gift. A second idea from the Malbim is something that's more specific to donating. And the Malbim says as follows. Ultimately, as the pasuk says, "Mimcha hakol umiyadcha nasanu lach." From as the pasuk in Devar Hayamim, from you is everything, and from your own hand we give to you. Miyadcha nasanu lach. We say that when we give Hashem, we're giving it from your own hand. What does that mean to say? That means that Hashem obviously is the source of all wealth and everything in the world, And while we own something, our gifts from God are contingent. Are contingent and our using them for the appropriate reasons and on our generosity. So says the Malbim, the Yikhuli Truma, you will take Truma in my name, Lishmi, for me. What that means to say is, you didn't really receive the gifts that I have given you until you agreed to donate them. Meaning to say, why'd I give you all this gold or silver or fine wool? Part of the reason for that is so that you could donate it to the cause of building me a mikdash. And so when you actually agree to do that, to give to the Beis HaMikdash, that's when you're actually taking it from me. That's when you really acquire the things that I have given to you. So, but yikhu li truma, it's only when you give that donation, that's when you actually acquire ownership of the wealth that you have. So you're taking it for me, you're taking it from God, and then giving it back to him. So a few beautiful ideas on the beauty of giving, of donating to Torah, to Jewish institutions, to shuls, to yeshivos, etc. And again, I want to express my appreciation for all those who donate to our learning together. That's one idea. Moving on a little bit. So obviously, as I mentioned, the purpose of collecting all these materials, all the things that Hashem wants the Jewish people to donate to the Mishkan, is for the purpose of building the Mikdash. So if you have the Chumash open in front of you in Perek Chav Hei, chapter 25, continuing here in Pasuk Ches, it says, V'asu li Mikdash, and you shall make for me a Mikdash, a sanctuary, V'shachanti V'socham, and I will dwell among them. K'chol asher ani mar'e'osecha, like all that I show you. Eis tavnis ha-mishkan, the image of the Mishkan, of the dwelling place, Eis Tavnis Kol Kelav, and the form of all its utensils, V'chein Tasu, and so you should do. So there's two psukim here. The first is the command itself, the mandate to build a mikdash, to build a holy place, to build a sanctuary. And then Hashem says, and you shall build it in the way that I am going to show you, the structure itself and all the utensils. And then, V'chein Tasu, and so you should do. The second Pasuk seems totally extraneous. Of course, Moshe is going to build the Mishkan in the way that Hashem instructs him to build it. How else is he going to build it? So why is it necessary for Hashem to say, and you're going to build me a Mikdash like the way that I'm going to show you to build it, and the way you're going to construct the Kelim, the Mikdash, and the Shulchan, and the Aron, and you're going to construct them in the way that I tell you to build them. Of course. What is the purpose of saying Kechol Asher Mari Ani Mar'e Oscha? And then what's V'chein Ta'asu? And so you should do. So two ideas I wanted to share with you about the beauty and the sanctity of the Mikdash. One comes from the Netziv. The Netziv says something interesting that really I think you could pick up from in the very simple explanation of the Torah, which is that there is a parallel between the building of the Mishkan and the building and creation of the entire world. And if you look at the language used in Bereshis, the very first chapter of our Torah, so there's a series of Vayas, 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 Vayivra, Hashem made this, and Hashem made that, and Hashem made that. He made the luminaries, and he made the plants, and he made the fish, etc. And you have a similar sort of construct when it comes to building the Mikdash. And then you're going to make this. And then you're going to make that. And then you're going to make that. Says the Netziv, the parallel is not for no reason. Hashem is saying that I want to dwell in your world. So just like I created the world so that I could dwell among humans and among the creatures of this world, you have to create a building for me, which is representative of and symbolic of the entire world. So Netziv says, what's kachol asher ani mar'e osecha? It's to say as follows. This is something I was talking about with Jeff beforehand. We have all these specifics of how the Mikdash is intended to be constructed. All these different details. What's the purpose of those details? So you might have said, well, listen, it's a construction project. And that the purpose of all these details is to make a nice, beautiful building and to make sure it doesn't fall down. So if we have the walls of the Mishkan, which are different panels, and there are hooks at the end of the panels, and then there are loops at the end of another panel, the purpose of the hooks and the loops is that you can connect all the panels together so that you have walls of a Mishkan. Says in a Tziv, okay, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. Because each specific detail of the Mishkan is merames, hints to, is parallel to a detail of the world itself. That the Mikdash was constructed in such a way that it is representative of the world that we live in. It's meant to look like the world. Maybe that's why Secheles, it's blue wool, which looks like the sky. Going to have another parallel also. But the point is, and Atziv says, there is the actual construction of the Mishkan, but there's also the symbolism and the meaning behind it. And it took incredible kavana to understand how each detail of the Mishkan was an allegory, was representative and symbolic of a greater idea in terms of the way Hashem created the world. So the way that Hashem instructs Moshe, it's not just he's telling him how to do it, but he's saying, when you build the Mikdash, this is what you're supposed to think about. This is what it's symbolic of. When you build the menorah, this is what it's symbolic of. And the menorah is symbolic of the need for inspiration and ruchnius, and so shulchan is the physical, material necessities of living in the world. So that's the v'chein. I'm going to show you how each specific prat, each individual detail of the Mikdash is representative of a greater idea. But I wanted to also share with you the Malbim. And the Malbim says something I think we've heard before, but it's very inspiring. I'll actually use his language here. He says as follows, that the Mikdash, the Mishkan, hayakfutzas kol nafshos Yisrael, is a gathering of all of the Jewish people in a way that they can connect to spirituality in the upper world. There's a Mikdash Shamala, says the Malbim. There is a sanctuary in the upper world, in heaven, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually dwells. There's a Mikdash Shamala. And when Hashem shows Moshe the Mikdash, he's not just showing him the physical structure the Jews constructed in the desert. He's showing him the Mikdash Shalmala. He's showing him, and I can't say I quite understand what this even means, but he's showing him what it means that God dwells on high, how God lives in the upper worlds. And he's saying, this Mikdash that you're constructing, this physical structure that you're going to build for me, that's going to enable you to live with me and connect to the Mikdash Shamala, the Mikdash in the upper world. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu his bigger house and all of its secrets, how he lives in the upper worlds. So that's like all I'm going to show you. Not just the Mikdash that Moshe actually constructed, but the Mikdash that, so to speak, God lives in. As Chazal say, Hukam Mikdash Shamala, Hukam Mikdash Shamala Imo. There was a upper sanctuary and a lower sanctuary. And the Shefa, the divine influence, comes from the world above to the world below. Okay, that's the first part, a bit esoteric. But then he says, what's V'chein Ta'asu? And so you should do it. Says the Malbim, Shekol Echad Yivnelo Mikdash B'chadre Levava. Each person should build a sanctuary for God in the inner chambers of their heart. So there's a Mikdash Shalmala, where God, so to speak, actually dwells. There's a Mikdash Shalmata, where we do the avoda, we do the service, we bring karbanos and try to get close to Hashem and connect to this idea of dwelling with God. And then there's a Mikdash, V'chein Ta'asu, that each person is supposed to construct inside of themselves, in the chambers of their heart. Yachen es atmo lios Mikdash Hashem. A person should prepare themselves to be a divine abode for Ribono Shel Olam, u'ma'on l'shchina suzo, and a place for his holy presence to reside. That's v'chein ta'asu, by dedicating ourselves, purifying our interior. V'chein ta'asu, you should make a mikdash for God as well inside of us. So beautiful idea by the Malbim. What's K'chol Asher Ani Mar'eh Uscha V'chein Ta'asu is saying, not just this is how you're going to build the physical Mishkan, but that the physical Mishkan is actually representative of Hashem's divine dwelling place on high, that each of us have to build a dwelling place for God within our own hearts. Beautiful idea from the Malbim. Two more ideas I wanted to share with you. One brief one about the Arum. Moving on to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Very famously, the Torah says, V'asu Aron Asei Shittim, and you should make for me an Aron out of Shittim wood, a Masayim V'chitzi Urko, two and a half Amos long, V'ama V'chitzi Rochbo, an Amma and a half, a cubit and a half wide, V'ama V'chitzi Komaso, and a cubit and a half tall. What stands out about this, in contrast to the rest of the utensils that Hashem had Moshe construct and Bezalel construct, is the plural language of the word ve'asu, that you should make. Obviously, in Hebrew, there's a distinction between many people doing something in the plural, that's ve'asu, and you in the plural shall do, versus ve'asisa, and you singular, you Moshe, should do. And for many of the other utensils, when it comes to when it's the Shulchan, or the menorah, etc., it's ve'asisa, 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 and you should do. Particularly when it comes to the Aron, it's vi'asu, and you in plural shall make. Why is it in plural? So the Ramban says that the purpose is, of course, because the Aron, what was the purpose of the Aron? Unlike the other utensils, which each had a really functional use, you light the menorah, you put the bread in the shulchan, you offer karbanos on the mizbeach, the Aron had only one purpose, and that was to store the luchos and the place where Hashem spoke to between the two kruvim, the two angels. So the Aron is representative, of course, of the Torah and the importance of limud haTorah. Says the Ramban, therefore, why is the Aron said in plural, the asu? B'yitachin sheyirmo sheyiyu kol Yisrael mishtatfim v'asiyas Aron, that all of the Jewish people should participate in the construction of the Aron. Ba'avor shehu kadosh mishkanei elyon, because it's the holiest vessel on which Hashem's presence resides. B'sheyizku kulam l'torah, and that everybody should merit a share in the Torah. The Torah Hamor, a later commentator, expounds upon this, and he says two things. First, he says that Chazal tell us that before the world was created, the Torah was created. So that's why the Aron is the first thing constructed. The first thing constructed in the Mishkan is the Torah. It's Rishona L'chol Hadvarim. Just as the first thing that Hashem creates when He created the world, as we said, the creation of the world is parallel to the construction of the Mishkan. What's the first thing Hashem created? Vayehi Or. And there was light, which is not just a physical light, that's the sun, but represents the spiritual presence in the world. And of course, we say Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. The Torah itself is a light. So just like Hashem created the light first, before everything else, so the first thing that Hashem asks Moshe to construct in the Mishkan is the Torah. The Torah is our divine light. And therefore, it's va'asu, it's made in the plural, because HaTorah hi munachas l'chol balei olam. The Torah is waiting there, lying in wait, for the whole entire world, he says, the chol bo'ei olam, to access it. It's there for us to take it. It's not like kahuna, which is only for the children of Aaron. It's not like malchus, kingship, which is only for the descendants of David. The crown of Torah is accessible to everyone. So it's v'asu Aaron, atzei shittim. Everybody should participate to construct the Torah, or to learn the Torah, to gain from the light of the Torah together. Another just brief point about the construction of the Aron. It's noteworthy that the dimensions of the Aron are all half. So it's 2.5 amos long, 1.5 amos wide, and 1.5 amos tall. It's quite noteworthy. It could have been 2, 1, and 1. Why 2.5, 1.5, 1.5? Two brief ideas on this. The Tzor HaMor suggests that it talks about humility, that we shouldn't see ourselves as whole, we should see ourselves as lacking. And that the people who can actually succeed in Limud HaTorah are those who are humble, who don't think too highly of themselves. And the Kli Yakar expounds upon this and relates it specifically to Chachma. Ezehu Chacham Halomi Mikoladam, who is someone who is wise, who can learn from everybody. Why is that so? Someone who is wise is someone who recognizes there is so much that I have yet to learn and so much I still want to know and discover. So you have to look at your knowledge of Torah, your knowledge of the Ribono Shel Olam, and say, it's incomplete. It's half. It's half. And I have to continue striving to complete it. It's only such a person who sees themselves as lacking, as needing to learn more, who can truly acquire Chachma, because says the Kli Yakar, you only really know when you know that you don't know, when you know that you're still lacking an understanding and you had that pursuit of the wisdom of the Torah. Okay, final idea, which will be a little bit more involved, but I find it so incredibly insightful from the Tziv, is the idea of the Badim. You look a little bit later in Pasuk Yagimel, it says, Vasisa Badea Tse Shitim Etzipiso Osam Zahav. You're going to make these two wooden poles and you plaster them with gold. Vehevesa es Habadim Batabos. You put these poles in rings, Atzalo Sa'aron, on the edges of the Aron. Lasesa Sa'aron Be'em, to carry the Aron with them. Betabo Sa'aron, in the rings of the ark, Yihiyu Abadim, the poles will be. Lo yasuru mimenu. You should not remove them from the aron. So on the one hand, we have this notion of the poles. The Mishkan was portable. It was something that Klal Yisrael moved with throughout their time in the desert. And so they had to be able to transport the Mishkan and all its utensils wherever they went. So we can understand the need for poles. The Torah says something quite strange here, that you're not allowed to remove the poles from the aron. And indeed, that there is an actual prohibition. There is a law in the Torah that if you remove the poles from the Aron, you violate the prohibition and you can even get punished for it. It's quite strange. What I can understand that when you're moving the Aron, that you have to keep the poles in the rings of the Aron. But if you're not moving the Aron, if Klal Yisrael is encamped and stationary, why not take the poles out? And then Tziv also notes that there is a specific emphasis on the importance of the poles in regard to the Aron and in regard to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Tziv notes that there are four different utensils that have poles. There's the Aron has Badim. There's the Shulchan, the table which stored the Lechem upon him, the Showbread that also has poles. There is the Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden altar that was inside the structure of the Mishkan, which was on which was offered the Ketores, that has poles. And then finally, there is the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the copper altar, which was outside the actual structure in the courtyard where most sacrifices were offered. What's interesting is as follows. There are a number of times the Torah describes these utensils. There's the original command to build the Mikdash. And then there is when it came time to carry out the command, Hashem says to gather all these things together. And then there's when Bezalel and those who worked with him actually fulfilled the command and constructed the Mikdash. What's interesting is as follows. Every time the utensils are described, the poles of the Aron and the outer Mizbeach, the outer altar, are also described. It says the Aron and its Badim, the Aron and its poles, the Mizbeach and its poles. It doesn't always mention the poles of the table of the Shulchan and the poles of the Mizbeach HaZahav. And it's quite fascinating. It's describing all of these utensils, yet it says, for instance, v'huva es bada b'taba'os, you're going to put its poles in the rings. It doesn't say specifically that you have to put the poles of the Shulchan in the rings of the Shulchan. When it describes the actual construction of the Mikshan, it says that you're going to bring the Aron, the Esbadav, and its poles. And it says you're going to bring the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the copper altar, and Esbadav, and its poles. But again, although the table and the Mizbeach HaPrimi also have poles, it doesn't say, and you're going to bring their poles. So why is that? Doesn't it say, because the poles of the Aron and the poles of the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the outer altar, were essential. They had to always be together. They're not just functional for carrying the Aron and the Shulchan, excuse me, and the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, but they're also an important symbol. Why is that? Says in its Siv, because the Aron and the Mizbeach HaNechoshes represent Torah and Avoda. The Aron is the Koach of Limud Torah, of learning Torah, Torah study, and the Mizbeach HaNechoshes is Avoda of serving the Ribono Shel Olam and Tefillah and Davening. Says in its Siv, most of these Kalim utensils were not permanent. We lost the Mikdash. We lost the utensils. And so we cannot carry them wherever we go. We need that specific context. We need Yerushalayim, we need a Mikdash, etc. But Torah and Tefillah need to be transportable wherever Klal Yisrael go. Whether they're in Yerushalayim, whether they're in exile in America, in France, in Germany, you need to be able to take the Aron and to take the Mizbeach, to take our Torah and our Tefillah, our prayer and our Torah learning, and make it accessible to the people of Klal Yisrael. Torah always needs to be accessible. Therefore, the Badim of the Aron and the Badim of the Mizbeach need to always be in place so that we can transport the Torah and the Avodah wherever it is we go. And that, I think, is an important Musar Haskel, which is to say that while hopefully all of us believe in the eternal value of Torah learning and of prayer and in service of the Ribono Shel Olam, it is also our responsibility to make those things accessible. And that if there is a group of people who don't appreciate that value as of yet, we have to get them to appreciate it. We have to bring the Torah to them. You need to take those badim. We have to construct our own poles and make sure that we can use them to make the Torah and our Avodas Hashem accessible to everyone, to bring it to the people where they are. That's the eternal message of the badim, of the poles of the Aron, and of the Mizbeah. So just to sort of sum up what we talked about this morning, we discussed the importance of giving, and that giving, the yikhuli truma, giving to the mikdash and to important causes, to shuls and to yeshivos and to schools and to the community, is also a form of taking, because we gain so much when we do it, and because Hashem gave us the things that we had in order to be able to contribute them. And it's only when we contribute them when we actually have taken them for ourselves. We also talked about the symbolism of the Mikdash, that Hashem wasn't just showing the Mikdash in terms of how to build it to Moshe Rabbeinu, but was showing the deep symbolism behind it. And now specifically the Mikdash is intended to enable each of us to construct a place for Hashem to reside within us. We talked about the accessibility of the Aron. Number one, it's constructed with the plural. Everybody participates in the construction of the Aron because the Torah is the divine light that ought to be accessible to everyone, which is why the badim, the poles of the Aron and the poles of the Mizbeach, are inextricable from the Mizbeach and the Aron. It's our job to make the Torah and Avodas Hashem accessible to everyone in our community and to do what it is that we can to make sure they value the Torah as much as we do. Okay, we're going to pause here for this week. I'd like to thank everyone for participating.